Psalm 11:3, if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? The foundations are Genesis, particularly the first 11 chapters of Genesis. If you take away the first 11 chapters of Genesis, you're wasting your time being here because there's no such thing as sin and there's no such thing as a Savior. So these are the foundations. This is from Creation Ministries International. The problem we have in teaching the creation story is that people have been programmed to believe in billions of years. It starts in childhood with dinosaur picture books and continues on through entertainment like Jurassic Park. And so people act incredulity and outright anger. It is the fruit of indoctrination. People don't respond with actual information, but with emotional outbursts that show their dedication to the worldview they have been trained to believe. Listen, you wouldn't believe the absolute nonsense that your kids are being taught in school and in college. Penn State University. Everybody knows I'm a big Penn State fan, right? That's what they're teaching at Penn State. They joined with NASA to come up and teach this ridiculous theory. Here's what they say. We need to stop global warming because, are you ready for this? I bet you're not. It will attract green aliens who will destroy us because they're mad at humans for harming the environment. They're teaching this at Penn State. This is what your kids are learning. Slide one, please, Zach. Poor Zach. See all these rings right here? Geologists and archaeologists and evolutionists will tell us how we got all these rings. Okay, these are different layers. These are millions of years piled on top of each other. As one age, the Jurassic Age or the Cretaceous Age, as they end and sediment settles, you get these rings, and that's how we could tell how old the Earth is, because of these rings here. Next slide, please, Zach. This is a canyon carved out of hard rock. It's called the Little Grand Canyon. And again, geologists and archaeologists and these people tell us that it takes millions of years to form these canyons. It's about 100, it doesn't look that deep, but it's about 140 feet here. So you can see the size of it, get the size of it. They say it takes constant erosion to form something like this. Well, in the next half hour, 40 minutes, we're going to prove them wrong. I'm going to show you that the Earth is only 6,000 years old, and we're going to break down the intellectual arguments of non-believers. Romans 3:4. But let God be true, and every man a liar, as it is written, that you may be justified in your words and will prevail in your being judged. This is an interesting verse. Who's being judged here? God is. People have God on trial. We've put us up here and God down here. But look what it says. You, God, are going to be justified in your words. What's his word? The Bible. Soon, this is going to reverse. God's going to be up here on top, and he's going to be the one doing the judging. And what's he going to use to do the judging? His words that he wrote down. Now think about evolution and dinosaurs in millions of years. And then this quote. Romans 1:21-23. Yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. As a result, their minds became dark and confused. Claiming to be wise, they became what? Fools. And instead of worshiping the glorious ever-living God, they worshiped idols made to look like mere people and birds and animals and reptiles. We worship the creation instead of the Creator. And that's what we do when we leave God and the Bible behind and start believing in evolution. What does God call these people? What's he call them? Fools. Not Brian's word, God's word. So where did this idea of millions of years come from? We'll get back to that. It's actually a surprising source. We're going to look at the theories of the beginning of everything. You guys are pretty intelligent, okay? So stop me when one of these makes sense to you on an intellectual level. Let's start with the Big Bang Theory. Can you bring up the next slide, please, Zach? Poor Zach has to keep all this straight for me. Hiroshima. Okay? Everybody knows what happened there, right? Next slide, please, Zach. Hiroshima, a couple hours later, after we dropped the atom bomb on it. Now, here's the thing. When we dropped that bomb, we had a big bang. Did it create a magnificent city, or did it destroy what was already there? This is important. Can anybody name one time in all of history when an explosion brought order out of chaos? One time. When our soldiers throw grenades at the enemy, are they expecting to build up defenses for the enemy? Or are they expecting to tear down the defenses that they already have? What's the grenade do? Does it bring stuff together? Or does it tear stuff apart? To believe in the Big Bang explains how we got here. All you have to do is believe that an explosion took place that put the moon and the earth and the sun in the exact spots, and then boom, and then they just stopped. In the right places for us to have life. Then you have to believe that the explosion took all the known water in the universe, and boom, it goes like this, but it kept all the water in the universe right here on planet Earth. It's a magic Big Bang. It's a magic explosion. And then you have to believe that some of that water that came from nothing contained salt. And so a bunch of creatures, depending on salt water, just arose from nothing that could live in the salt water. And this Big Bang magically separated the salt water from the fresh water and then brought forth other living creatures that needed fresh water to survive. It's amazing how this nothing exploded and caused all this. And of course, you have to explain how this big explosion created an atmosphere with the only oxygen in the known universe, just happens to be right here on planet Earth, and then it just happened to create magical creatures that needed this oxygen to breathe and to survive. Here's the thing, we could do this for hours, but the thing is this, chaos always results from explosions. No explosion has ever brought order. And yet people, and I'm going to show you why they believe in the Big Bang. People want us to believe that the first big explosion brought everything into perfect order and set it just where it is. Raise your hand if that makes sense to anybody. Anybody? It's crazy. Leading evolutionists like Carl Sagan and Stephen Hawking, who aren't nearly as smart as they think they are, say there are 200 billion galaxies, and each galaxy has 200 billion stars that have been created, and that they estimate the age of the universe at about 5.4 billion years. So they say we have 200 billion galaxies, each with 200 billion stars. First, I don't think they have any idea of the numbers that they're teaching. They have no idea what they're even saying. So let me put this into simpler terms. For that to be the case, for Hawking and Sagan and all these people to be correct, you would have to have 31,000 new stars being created every second of every day for the last 5.4 billion years. 31,000 a second to get the numbers that they're saying are out there. We've never seen a star created. Never. Doesn't happen. The only time that happened was back when the night Jesus was born, or the time Jesus was born, and the Magi saw a new star. That's why they were able to follow it, because there was a star in a place where a star had never been before. It's the only time in history that's ever happened. But if the evolutionists are right, we should see 31,000 new stars every second. Anyone can tell you that the Big Bang is true. Ask them to give you evidence. Ask them to prove it. Ask them to make sense of their theory. How did this explosion bring order? How did that happen? So let's leave the Big Bang and go to evolution in millions of years and billions of years. And listen, I'm not even going to use the Bible for this. I'm going to use the evolutionists themselves, the world's leading evolutionists. These are their quotes. to Arthur Keith. Evolution is unproved and unprovable. The evolutionists cling to their theory because they simply can't stand the alternative, which is, in the beginning, God. Listen, these aren't Bible-believing Christians. These are God-hating evolutionists. Professor Fritz Feischmann, zoologist from the University of Erlangen. The Darwinian theory, that's evolution, has not a single fact to confirm it. It is not the result of scientific research, but merely the product of imagination. These are evolutionists saying this, not Christians. Sir William Dawson, considered Canada's greatest geologist. The theory of evolution is one of the strangest phenomena of humanity. It is utterly destitute of proof. What's that mean? It means there is not one single piece of evidence that evolution is true in any way, shape, or form. Doesn't exist. Nobel Prize winning physicist Roger Millikan. The pathetic thing is we have scientists who are trying to prove evolution, which no scientist can ever prove. Dr. Austin H. Clark, author of The New Evolutionists, one of America's greatest biologists. Creationists have the better of the argument. There's not the slightest evidence that any animal arose from another. In other words, no monkey ever turned into a person. Dr. Richard Goldschmidt, professor of zoology at the University of California, spent his entire life searching for evidence to prove that evolution was true. In the end, I must conclude that Darwin's theory of natural selection has never had any proof, yet it has been universally accepted. Now be patient, because we're going to see why they accept this. Why they want to believe in evolution. Dr. Francis Crick, Nobel Prize winner, the co-discoverer of DNA, not a Christian, not a believer. He set out to calculate the odds of DNA originating any other way other than a creator. The odds of evolution occurring are one in infinity. In other words, it could never happen, not if the universe were billions of years old and billions of universes wide. The odds make it absolutely impossible. It doesn't matter how far back you go or how big you make the universe, the odds never change. It is absolutely impossible that nothing came together and made a DNA molecule. Listen, again, these aren't Christians. These are God-hating atheists. One last time, Sir Julian Huxley, the first director of UNESCO, considered the world's leading evolutionist. The reason we scientists all jumped on the origin of the species was because the idea of God interfered with our sexual mores. That's why people believe in evolution. You see that? Because they didn't want God interfering with their perversions. That's what it says. This guy's considered the leading evolutionist in the world. And the idea of God means they have to be accountable. He was asked on a television show this question: why have so many scientists been so quick to adopt Darwin's theory of evolution? And that's the answer he gave. Dr. Mark Kirshner, founding chair of the Department of Systems Biology at Harvard Medical School. The fact is that over the past 100 years, no one in the fields of molecular biology, biochemistry, or physiology have taken evolution into account at all. They don't believe this stuff. The world's leading evolutionists do not believe the garbage that's coming out of their own mouths, but they want to shove it down your kids' throats as if it's true. The number one reason the kids who grow up in church go away to college and leave the church is because somebody who claimed to be a Christian believes in evolution. Spurgeon, by the way, thought that there was more likelihood of evolution, which is a sad thing. So what about dinosaurs? We know dinosaurs are millions of years old, right? Really? You know how they originally dated how old dinosaur bones were? They used a process called carbon-14 dating. It uses the strength of carbon atoms. John can explain this a lot better than me. I was trying to understand it, but John talks up here to me with this stuff. So it uses carbon atoms. Everything is made up of carbon, okay? Every living thing. When you burn your toast, okay, toast came from wheat. When you burn it, that black stuff is carbon. When you burn your hamburgers, that black stuff is carbon. When a house burns down, that black stuff is carbon, okay? Everything contains carbon. Now, here's what happens. They put off atoms. Carbon atoms are released from everything. And so the stronger these are, the more recent the thing lived. And the weaker they get, as they return to John says, carbon 12, as they approach that, they die out and quit giving off the atoms altogether. And so they know that the weaker that the give off from carbon 14 is, the older something has to be. And so they use carbon 14 to date dinosaur bones to millions and millions and millions of years. Now here's the thing. Carbon 14 has a half-life of 5,700 years. That means that 5,700 years, it's not giving off those atoms anymore. And yet they've used this to say, look, this bone is millions of years old. Well, if you're still getting readings using carbon 14 from that dinosaur bone, it cannot be more than 5,700 years old. It can't be. It's impossible. So they're lying to you right off the bat. Evolutionists teach that over millions of years, dinosaurs became birds. Grew feathers and became birds. Unfortunately for evolutionists, in the summer of 2012 in Liaoning, China, a dinosaur skeleton was discovered. And inside this dinosaur were undigested parts of his last meal. Guess what this dinosaur's last meal was? Three fully developed birds. Weren't separate species at all. Dinosaurs weren't here for millions of years before birds. They lived at the same time. Dinosaurs ate them. Here's the thing. Parrot, penguin, owl, sandpiper, albatross, flamingo, loon, and duck skeletons have been found at every major dinosaur dig site in the world. And yet they don't put these in museums alongside the dinosaurs because it ruins their theory of what they're trying to teach, was that the Earth is millions of years old. Recently, big news was made showing that they found a Tyrannosaurus rex, and when they cut open the bones of the Tyrannosaurus rex, it still had liquid blood in it. Now, if that bone was millions of years old, that's an impossibility. It still had liquid blood in it. Slide 5, please, Zach. Look at this carefully. Note this. Note the shape of the head and the fins and how they all come together. Note the little fins on the bottom here, okay? This is a photo of a coelacanth. Our evolutionists say that this thing went extinct 400 million years ago. Next slide, please, Zach. Wasn't aware that they had cameras 400 million years ago, but apparently they did. Because here's a living one, and we have hundreds and hundreds of these photos, and hundreds of these things have been caught. Note the fins, note this same animal, okay? And yet evolutionists tell us that it went extinct 400 million years ago. There it is. I'm barely touching on the archaeological facts, guys, due to time limitations. But all these things are readily available on the internet. Just keep in mind that they're going to use the bent that all this stuff is millions of years old. One more from the geological age of the Earth, needing to be long periods of time. This is being taught at Indiana University. It takes a few thousand years for every millimeter of sandstone to form. There are 25.4 millimeters in an inch, which is 304 millimeters to a foot. Next slide, please, Zach. This is a water wheel in Australia. This is sandstone. It's encased the water wheel here. It's about 8 feet high. And then it goes down here, it's about 8 feet from here to here, and then it goes down here another 14 feet. According to evolutionists and the teachers at Indiana University, this would be 2,432 millimeters high. So let's take in their mathematical equation. If each one of those millimeters took thousands of years, to create, it would take 9,728,000 years for this sandstone to form. 10 million years. The water wheel was built in 1895, 124 years ago. Somebody's wrong. It's a sandstone which formed. That's why the wheel doesn't work anymore, because the sandstone built around it and locked it in place. It's 124 years old, not 400 million years old. Last two quotes from a former atheist, Robert Carter, master's in plant science from Washington State University, PhD in genetics from Purdue University, the chair of the University of Clemson Biochemistry and Genetics Department. He left that position to work with the Creation Research Institute because he wasn't allowed to teach the truth. And here's what he says. Evolutionary ideas, including millions of years, are part of a failed paradigm that exists only in the minds of deceived men, not in scientific reality. The foolish speculation of evolution becomes more ridiculous every day. Nobel Prize winner Peter Medawar, a fellow of the Royal Society, we can't get in the Royal Society, wrote a book called The Limits of Science, which, quote, every non-ignoramus should read. He said, science never could, never can, and never will be able to explain the origin of the universe. Can't happen. That's from the evolutionists. That's their side of the argument. Their side of the argument is, this stuff is fake, it's false, we made it all up, but we're going to ram it down your throats anyway. That's their side of the argument. For time's sake, I'm going to glimpse the last section here. And a lot of you guys have heard this part before, but we're going to now go back and see what God says. Until a little less than 200 years ago, it was accepted worldwide in the scientific, medical, and religious communities that the earth was only 6,000 years old. Genesis chapter 1, verses 5, 8, 13, 19, we can do this a few more times. And there was evening and there was morning the first day. And there was evening and there was morning the second day. And there was evening and there was morning the third day. And on and on and on. This goes on for 7 days, of course. But here's the thing. The word day in all these things is yom. Yom. There was the first yom. And there was the second yom. And there was the third yom. Okay? Now here's the thing. And they're right. Yom can mean a 24-hour period of time, or it can mean a specified length of seven days, 7 weeks, 7 years, 7 centuries, or it can mean an undetermined amount of time. Okay, so there was evening and there was morning, the second yom. Well, see, the way the word reads, it could be millions of years. See, but the problem comes when people don't understand the Hebrew language. See the words in front of that? What's this say? The first day. What's this say? Second day. What's this? When you put a number in front of the word yom, it always and only means a 24-hour period of time. So by putting that number in front, we take away all the other possibilities with the word yom, and it comes down to it can only mean a 24-hour period of time. Dr. Andrew Steinman, considered one of the world's leading experts on the Hebrew language, which is what the Old Testament is written in, as far as I know, there is not one professor of Hebrew or of Old Testament studies that does not believe that creation took place in 6 literal 24-hour days. This guy's the world's leading expert in the language that the Bible was written in. So where did evolutionists get their idea that each day could be millions of years old? Actually, from two unlikely sources, the Bible and a Christian. 2 Peter 2:8, everybody knows this verse. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. There you have it, they say. See, one day could be anything. It's not really a 24-hour period, it could be anything to God. Listen, the Bible is very specific. God doesn't waste words. There's not one wasted word in the Bible. When he says 1,000 years, he means 1,000 years and not 1,000,000 years. So let's break this down. How many days did it take God to create the world? 6. Okay. Each day is as 1,000 years to God. And 1,000 years is as one. There's your indicator that it's a 24-hour period. And 1,000 years is as one day. Okay. 6 days of creation as 1,000. Each day is like 1,000 years to God. What's that add up to? 6,000 years. God's telling us, every one of those days of creation, one day to us, will equate to 1,000 years. Man's reign upon planet Earth, 6,000 years. What happened on the seventh day? God rested. What's going to happen at the end of the tribulation period? Jesus is going to come back, and he's going to take Satan and all his enemies, and he's going to put them in a pit, and there's going to be a 1,000-year period of absolute peace on planet Earth as Christ reigns from Jerusalem. Day 7. One day is like 1,000 years to God. Everybody understand what God's saying here? God's telling us that man's going to reign on this earth for 6,000 years, and then Jesus is going to come and reign on this earth for 1,000 years. And at the end of that 1,000 years, Satan's going to be raised up again and allowed to deceive the world for a very short time. And then he's going to be thrown into the lake of fire. This is what God said to us. The man who came up with the ridiculous, every day is millions of years, this is called the day-age theory. And he teaches that every day, the first day, well, there was 1,000,000 years between the first day and the second day. The man who came up with that was an evangelical Christian named Hugh Miller. He was a popular Scottish author who came up with a theory after reading Darwin's Origin of the Species. And so he wanted to reconcile the Bible with the world. He wanted everybody to love the church and come into the church. So listen, instead of teaching what the Bible says, we'll go ahead and adopt what you say and bring it into the church so everybody can feel comfortable. And so he comes up with this theory that every day was probably millions of years. He wrote a book about it. About a month before the book was to be published, he realized how ridiculous his own theory was. He went to the publishers, and he tried to get the publishers to not release the book. They already had it printed and everything, and so they told him, sorry, we're going to release it. And so Mr. Miller, the guy who came up with the millions of years theory, on Christmas Eve in 1856, sat alone in his room, took out a pistol, and shot himself. This is a guy who came up with the millions of years. Last biblical evidence that we have that we're right and evolution is wrong. Of course, it all begins with your world point, whether you want to believe the Bible or not. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. The cost of sin, the penalty for sin, is death. 1 Corinthians 15:26. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. So the penalty for sin is death. That means death didn't enter the world until sin entered into the world. God calls death his enemy. So if death is God's enemy, and death didn't enter into the world until sin entered into the world, how do you explain Genesis 1:31? Did I give you that one, Zach? I may not have given you that. Yep. God saw that all that he made, and it was very good. So listen, if we have dinosaurs back here millions of years ago eating each other and chasing each other and tearing each other to shreds, and then we come along up here millions of years and God creates man in the Garden of Eden, and then right over here Adam and Eve sin, and that's when death comes into the world. And then over here God saw everything that he made, and it was very good. How do you have God saying that everything he made was very good when he just said that death was his enemy and we have dinosaurs millions of years ago back here killing each other? Death didn't come into the world back here millions of years ago. Death didn't come into the world until over here when man was created, when man sinned. So how do you explain dinosaurs killing each other before sin came into the world? By the way, do you know how far back you can trace human civilization? How far back do you think you could trace it? Listen, I'm not talking about the theories who say, hey, this is Piltdown man. He's 2.6 million years old, baloney. Every one of these things that evolutionists have ever come up with, what they do to try to prove their ridiculous theories is they'll take parts of human skeletons and put them together with parts of orangutan skeletons, and they'll say, look, we found the missing link. And they've done this about 24 times over the last 200 years, and every one of them has been proven to be a hoax. Every one of them. You can only trace human history back, are you ready? 5,700 years, that's it. That's all the further you can trace it back. You look it up. Like evolution, the Big Bang, and all the other things, we could talk about this for a long time, but we're out of time. So let's end with the beginning. May 18th, 1980. At 8:32 a.m., a magnitude 5.1 earthquake sent Mount St. Helens into a massive eruption. 57 people died. 230 square miles of forest, boom, just like that, they were gone. Just like that. The power unleashed by that volcano was the equivalent of the Hiroshima atomic bomb being dropped every second for 9 straight hours. That's how much power it put out. Back to slide one, please, Zach. This wall of rock with these different layers that it took millions of years, all these things took millions of years to form, it was formed in less than 3 hours when Mount St. Helens exploded. Next slide again, please, Zach. Evolutionists say that this took millions of years to form these canyons. This was formed in one day. One day. Not millions of years. Geologists dated, when volcanoes erupt, they send lava and molten rock and they form new rocks, okay, out of the molten it cools and you get new rocks. And so geologists dated rocks around Mount St. Helens to 2.4 million years old. They were formed last week. And yet they dated them to 2.4 million years. Here's the thing, guys, and we're going to finish here. We want answers to things in life. We want answers. Why did a 20-year-old young man die in a car crash? What did he ever do to anybody? Why did my mom have to die? You can play, but you don't have to. It's up to you. Yeah. Why does bad stuff happen? Why do we suffer? Why doesn't God come down and just tell me? Why doesn't he answer me? Where are you, God, when I need you the most? We want answers to these questions and the simple questions, like, what's heaven like? Are we going to be just like Jesus? Are we going to be able to walk through walls? Just think about being in Italy and we'll be there. We want answers to life questions, guys. And we wonder why God is distant and why God won't just come down and give me the answer that I'm looking for. God, my heart's torn in two. God, I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened to this person who passed away. I don't understand this. Why don't you tell me, God? Why don't you just come down and tell me, God? John 3:12. Jesus speaking. If I told you earthly things, like I created the earth 6,000 years ago, and you don't believe that, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? In other words, you can't even grasp the simplest of things that I've already told you. How do you think you're going to be able to grasp these things that are so far above human reasoning that you can't make sense of it? This is what Jesus said. And so we're going to get those answers one day. And I can tell you, God has a reason and God has a plan. We don't always know it. We don't usually like it. But he still has a reason. Answers in Genesis. They teach that human DNA and chimpanzee DNA is only 1% different. It's a lie. It's over 30% different. 30% difference in your DNA is millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of differences. It's not like we're the same creature. Answers in Genesis will close us like this. God created people, and people sing beautiful songs. Gorillas can only grunt. I love you guys.